The Gone Cold podcast may contain violent or graphic subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
In January of 2008, 19-year-old Brianna Zanino Dennison was visiting her home in Reno, Nevada during winter break from Santa Barbara College in California, where she studied psychology. On the night of Saturday, January 19th, Brianna accompanied friends to a party at Reno's Sands Regency Hotel and Casino. The night was a normal one. Brianna and friends partied late until returning to one friend's home just off the University of Nevada's campus in the wee hours of the next morning. Brianna fell asleep on the couch while her friend KT retired to her bedroom for the night at around 4 a.m. KT woke up about 9 a.m. on Sunday, January 20th, 2008, groggy from the previous night's partying and the short night of sleep. She noticed Brianna wasn't on the couch, and after looking around the rest of the home, realized that her friend wasn't there at all. When KT noticed a small blood stain on the pillow Brianna had used while sleeping on the couch, she quickly called her friend's parents and then police. Brianna's shoes, purse, and cell phone were left behind. Over the next few days, the Reno police combed KT's home for clues. They determined that the blood found on the pillow belonged to Brianna Dennison and lifted touch DNA from the front doorknob, determined to belong to an unknown male. DNA lifted from the couch where Brianna slept, too, was discovered and was linked to rapes that occurred in the immediate area, one the previous November, the other December. Over the course of the next few weeks, a search for Brianna Dennison was conducted, an effort that Washoe County District Attorney Dick Gamick called one of the most massive he'd ever seen in the county. The FBI became involved in the investigation all but immediately, joining Reno City and Washoe County authorities and nearly 1,700 volunteers. Nevada's First Lady even joined the efforts to find the missing Reno native and Santa Barbara City College sophomore. It wasn't a search team, however, that found the missing 19-year-old. After taking his lunch break at a popular sandwich chain in Reno, a Sparks, Nevada resident named Albert noticed something bright orange in a large clump of tree limbs that had been discarded in a ditch along the road. It was February 15th, 2008, more than 3 weeks after Brianna Dennison disappeared. As he got closer, he realized the unnatural bright orange color that caught his eye were socks. And as he got closer still, Albert saw that the socks were attached to feet. For a moment, he told himself that he was looking at a mannequin, but quickly discovered that it was, in fact, a body. Since Albert didn't have his cell phone on him, he hurried back to his place of employment and called authorities. The body was identified as Brianna Zanino Dennison the following day. She'd been raped and strangled to death. For the next several months, Reno police began building a case against a then-unknown rapist and murderer whose DNA was found not only on the couch from which Brianna Dennison slept the night she went missing, but also from one of the two pairs of underwear found beneath the right thigh of her discarded body. One garment did not belong to Brianna, and in fact contained the DNA of an unknown female alongside an unknown male. The second pair, presumably the murder weapon, contained the killer's DNA, Brianna's DNA, and Brianna's best friend KT's DNA. The killer's DNA had been linked to at least two other rapes, and working alongside the survivors, the cops were able to provide the public with a description of the serial rapist turned murderer. On November 1st, 2008, a call came in to Washoe County's Secret Witness, a program that is essentially the same as Crime Stoppers. When they saw news reports featuring the composite sketch of the perpetrator of Brianna Slang, and heard the description of the vehicle used in a rape case the month prior to Brianna's disappearance, the caller said. They recalled an experience a close friend of theirs had. According to the caller, a friend told them that she found women's underwear in her boyfriend's trunk that didn't belong to her. When the caller saw the composite sketch, it looked like their friend's boyfriend, a man named James Michael Bila, a former United States Marine. It was the tip Reno police had been waiting months for, and they jumped all over it. Acting fast, detectives brought in James Bila for questioning. Bila, of course, denied any involvement in the murder of Brianna Dennison. He also refused to give authorities a sample of his DNA. After questioning the man's girlfriend, however, the cops got what they needed. Her son was fathered by their suspect, and she allowed detectives to take a DNA sample from the four-year-old. The perpetrator of the rape and murder of Brianna Dennison, along with two other sexual assaults, was a direct paternal relative of this child, giving police exactly what they needed to get a DNA sample directly from James Michael Bila, via warrant. On November 25, 2008, Bila was taken into custody after the DNA sample he provided matched. He was charged with and later convicted of murder, first-degree kidnapping, and sexual assault. Bila was handed four life sentences, along with a death sentence, in June of 2010. This terrible crime obviously is resolved, and the rape and murder of Brianna Dennison didn't take place in Texas, the state that is the focus of this podcast. But there was a point to giving a brief summary of this case. Exactly 10 years to the month after Brianna's senseless slaying at the hands of the monster known as James Michael Bila, her cousin Caitlin Dennison, also 19 years old, disappeared into thin air shortly after taking a trip to Midland, Texas. We know little about Caitlin Marie Dennison, who was born in Reno, Nevada on August 7, 1998. Though she'd previously worked as a dancer at Reno's The Men's Club, dancing under the stage name Serena, she'd quit sometime around October of 2017 and was working both as a waitress and at the retail clothing store Rue 21 in the Meadowood Mall. Caitlin has been described as a free spirit who lived a carefree lifestyle, which is among the reasons, perhaps, her disappearance gained little attention in the media. If her choice of lifestyle and the fact that she was an adult rendered her disappearance unworthy of coverage in the eyes of the press, however, something is terribly wrong with the state of media. The fact is, there are red flags surrounding the disappearance of Caitlin Dennison. Midland police, by the way, did release a statement to the press saying that they believed Caitlin is in danger. Fair warning before we continue. The following accounts that lead up to the disappearance of Caitlin Dennison might get a little confusing. There is little about this case that is clear-cut, and initial reports only muddied the water. As we continue, just keep in mind that several details we cover up front will be contradicted by information later. We'll get to that, and we'll also discuss mistakes in the official missing persons poster and on the Texas Department of Public Safety's Missing Persons Clearinghouse bulletin. But here is what is known as fact, and it's not much. On January 9, 2018, 19-year-old Caitlin Marie Dennison left Reno, Nevada for Midland, Texas. She made it, but vanished all but immediately and has not been heard from since. When news outlets first began covering Caitlin's disappearance, the circumstances were difficult to make sense of. Here is what was reported. In the middle of 2017, 19-year-old, born-and-raised Reno, Nevada resident Caitlin Dennison met a man from Midland, Texas. But that's where this man's description stops. Other than that, Caitlin told her family nothing more, no details of what the man looked like, and no name. It was initially reported that about 6 months after meeting the mysterious Texas man, on Friday, January 9, 2018, Caitlin decided to fly back to Midland with him, meaning that for 6 months, she never mentioned any details about this man to anyone, not family, not friends. If that seems somewhat unlikely, that Caitlin Dennison would surely have mentioned the man in more detail to someone, considering she was said to be very social and kept a lot of friends, it's because it is unlikely. The Texas Department of Public Safety reportedly told CBS 7 News in Midland that since the flight number Caitlin and the mystery man took was unknown to family, checking airport surveillance footage and even confirming she took the flight was proving to be difficult, which also seems unlikely. Checking flight records when you know the specific departure and arrival information, after all, should be a relatively painless task in terms of performing a law enforcement investigation. Obtaining such information should not take much more than a few phone calls and perhaps a little waiting around. Police not doing their due diligence here seems unlikely, and that's because it is. They did do their due diligence. We'll get to that. Anyway, the day she left Nevada for Texas, Caitlin texted her sister Rachel, telling her to expect a call or text from a Reno or Las Vegas area code at around 2 p.m. and to make sure and answer the call. That call never came, nor did a text message. But Caitlin Dennison got to Texas with the Midland mystery man. The day after she left Reno, Nevada, on January 10, 2018, she called her sister, Rachel Dennison, back home. The call came from the Walmart Supercenter in Northwest Midland at 12:31 p.m. Caitlin told Rachel that she was frightened and wanted to come back home. Their talk was cut short when the Midland man returned to the area of the store Caitlin was in. She hung up so he wouldn't know she was making a call. Caitlin then texted her sister the location of the Walmart Supercenter, along with a message that read, "This guy makes me a little scared for my life. He's mad that I won't let him lay a hand on me." That was the last correspondence Rachel Dennison ever had with her sister, and she reported Caitlin missing shortly thereafter. It's reported, by the way, that Caitlin Dennison was 4 weeks pregnant when she went missing. For quite some time, little to no information came in that gave the Dennison family any clues as to Caitlin's whereabouts. But months after she vanished, a terrifying video went viral that raised the hopes of the family. 60 miles north of Houston, in the early morning hours of Friday, August 24, 2018, a woman went from house to house ringing doorbells in the Sunrise Ranch neighborhood located in Montgomery County, Texas. Several residents answered the door after the bell was rang 20 to 30 times in some cases, but by the time they got there, the woman was gone. After catching her on a home surveillance camera at approximately 3:20 a.m. at her door, one Sunrise Ranch resident released the video on social media. Not because of the disturbance this woman caused, rather because the woman captured in the grainy black and white doorbell camera footage appeared to be in great distress. She was only wearing a t-shirt, she had on no shoes, and restraints could be seen dangling from her wrists, as if she'd just escaped a traumatic period in captivity. Her behavior, too, suggested she was taking precautions not to be seen by someone, moving from house to house quietly and looking around as if she was hiding. The homeowner that released the video pleaded with her social media friends to call police with information that might lead to this woman's identity. "This girl belongs to someone," the Sunrise Ranch resident wrote. "She has people, family, someone must be missing her." The footage went viral fast, receiving a couple million views in no time. 2 days later, in an attempt to identify and locate the distraught woman, The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office further released the surveillance footage in hopes someone would recognize her and come forward. Montgomery County authorities were inundated with tips as to this woman's identity, some as far away as Canada, where one tipster suggested the woman was a missing person from our northern neighbor. Rachel Dennison also thought the mysterious doorbell woman was possibly her missing sister, Caitlin. In fact, she was almost certain. What appeared to be tattoos on the woman matched those her sister has, as far as Rachel could tell from the grainy footage, anyway, specifically a tattoo of the Libra symbol Caitlin has on her right forearm, and what looked like a similar one on the then-unknown woman's arm. What appeared to be a tattoo on the woman's middle finger, too, was consistent with one of Caitlin's. The missing young woman's friend Emily described Caitlin's silly walk and the shape her mouth made when she cried, likening her friend's mannerisms to the woman in the video. The restraints the woman in the surveillance footage is seen wearing certainly fit the Dennison family's theory of what happened to Caitlin, that she was being held captive by the man she went to Texas to meet, or by someone the Midland man prearranged to abduct her. For days, the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office and folks from all over the county attempted to identify the mysterious doorbell woman, and it wasn't long before the tip they needed came in. Days after the troubling surveillance footage went viral, the ex-wife of a man named Dennis Ray Collins called the sheriff's office and told them that the woman in the grainy, black and white, and disturbing video looked like her ex-husband's girlfriend. The man's ex-wife also told police that she'd been receiving troubling text messages from him. When Montgomery County Sheriff's deputies visited the residence of 49-year-old Dennis Ray Collins on Wednesday, August 29, 2018, less than a week after the mysterious doorbell woman sought help in the Sunrise Ranch subdivision, they found the man dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. A suicide note Collins left behind helped lead Montgomery County authorities to the woman in the video, a 32-year-old Dallasite named Lauren. This is what Lauren would later explain happened. After falling asleep at her boyfriend's house, Lauren awoke to the man shoving articles of clothing into her mouth. She couldn't move. Dennis Ray Collins was kneeling on her chest. Her boyfriend wrapped her head entirely with duct tape and rendered her immobile by restraining her ankles and wrists. Collins then raped Lauren. After the depraved attack, Collins let Lauren up to go to the kitchen to get a drink, and she escaped when the rapist walked out of the room. Although some news outlets would report that Lauren returned to the house she'd been held captive and raped in, after she couldn't get anyone to come to their doors and also could not get cars passing by to stop and help, she did not. Instead, she ran to a friend's house before returning to the safety of her family in Dallas. Thankfully, Lauren's nightmare was over, but the hopes of the Dennison family that answers as to what happened to Caitlin were close were dashed. One theory held by those who are familiar with Caitlin Dennison's disappearance is that she was the victim of sex trafficking, something that is prevalent in the Midland-Odessa area of Texas. The United States Department of Justice defines human trafficking as, quote, sex trafficking in which a commercial sex act is induced by force, fraud, or coercion, or in which the person induced to perform such act has not attained 18 years of age. The recruitment, harboring, transportation, provision, or obtaining of a person for labor or services through the use of force, fraud, or coercion for the purpose of subjection and involuntary servitude, peonage, debt bondage, or slavery. The former being the relevant definition as far as Caitlin Dennison is concerned. According to the study Human Trafficking by the Numbers from the University of Texas School of Social Work, there are as many as 313,000 victims of human trafficking at any given moment in time. That's just in the state of Texas. Though the percentage of minors in this figure is both staggering and troubling, the majority of these cases appears to involve adult women. Not only is the Midland-Odessa area a hotbed of human trafficking activity in Texas, but the state of Nevada, where Caitlin Dennison is from, has the highest rate of human trafficking cases. As a former dancer at the men's club in Reno, Nevada, Caitlin's prior employment might be connected in some way to her disappearance, but the prevalence of trafficking in Nevada and West Texas is far more likely to be at play if we're to explore this theory. And there are plenty of examples. Less than a year before Caitlin disappeared in July of 2017, the Texas Department of Public Safety made 34 arrests in a major sex trafficking operation in Midland after a prior and lengthy investigation. 2 years to the month before Caitlin vanished, police in Odessa began an investigation into the closed Facebook group West Texas Man Cave when a post surfaced offering a woman for sale. It's unclear where that investigation landed, though it is known that a federal agency came in and took over not long after Odessa police began. A year to the month after Caitlin went missing, in January 2019, three men were arrested at an Odessa motel, charged with the sex trafficking of a 14-year-old female runaway, who the oldest man in this scheme, 32 years old, had raped himself. According to the executive director of Reflections Ministry of Texas, Dr. Corey Armstead, a trafficker can make upwards of $300,000 off a single victim, who is often raped by buyers 15 to 20 times a day. 7 years, Dr. Armstead continued, is the average life expectancy of a human trafficking victim. The problem is so huge in the Midland-Odessa area, in fact, Dr. Armstead's organization created a facility to house sex trafficking survivors who escape their captors in 2019. The examples above are but a small fraction of the examples in the Midland-Odessa area. According to the Polaris Project, sex trafficking rarely starts with abduction. Rather, the process a predator takes is a slow, methodical, and manipulative process of grooming. The steps, as listed on thepolarisproject.org, are as follows: targeting the victim, gaining trust, meeting needs, isolation, exploitation, and maintaining control. If Caitlin had indeed met a Midland, Texas man 6 months before she disappeared, whether online or in person, that's 6 months to groom her, 6 months to convince her he'd be a father to her child when that child was born, and that he could take her away from her life and give her a better one. But the fact is, this man from Midland, Texas, Caitlin met just days before she disappeared. There would have been virtually no grooming process. Less than 6 months after Lauren was caught on doorbell surveillance cameras in the Sunrise Ranch neighborhood in Montgomery County, a tip came in to Midland Crime Stoppers. This information, unlike the mysterious doorbell video, offered little hope to Caitlin's family and friends. More than a year after the disappearance of Caitlin Dennison, on Wednesday, March 13, 2019, a call came in to the Midland Crime Stoppers hotline. The caller remained anonymous. This tipster phoned in to tell the cops about the possible homicide of a white, blonde-haired female that occurred outside Midland city limits in Midland County. Sheriff's deputies visited the scene of this alleged murder and found clothing artifacts they say might have belonged to Caitlin Dennison. That's virtually all the details the cops let out to the media, and it's unknown if the items were ever positively identified as belonging to the missing young woman. The tip and discovery of clothing, however, and the fact that Caitlin told her sister the day she disappeared that the man in Midland was angry when she wouldn't let him touch her, provides another grim theory on what happened to her. If you kept up with the initial reports in this case, what few there were, here's where things get somewhat confusing. Although not mentioned in the first few reports in the press, Rachel Dennison released other details a couple years after her sister vanished that contradict those initial reports. Thankfully, an individual named Jennifer helped us sort through the details and make sense of the bad information. It is reported in the media that Caitlin Dennison had known the man she traveled from Reno, Nevada to Midland, Texas with for about 6 months, but that's not the case. The man who she'd been hanging around those 6 months is an entirely different person, with no connection whatsoever to Caitlin's decision to travel to Midland. Within days of leaving Reno, Caitlin Dennison met a man whose mother lived in a small Nevada town. If I had to presume, I'd say the man and Caitlin met while he was in the area visiting his mom, since this guy is the Midland, Texas man. He is or was a truck driver, and apparently he and Caitlin hit it off, since she decided to fly back to Midland with him. It's believed that Caitlin was messaging the man while she was with some friends the day she left Reno. These friends tried to talk Caitlin out of going, but apparently could not, as they drove her to her sister's where she borrowed some makeup and then drove her to the airport. It is also believed that this Midland man offered Caitlin some type of work, most likely in modeling or dancing. After Caitlin's disappearance, the cops did find this man. Obviously, they were working to identify him using the flight he and Caitlin took from Reno to Midland, unlike what was reported before. They questioned both him at his trailer in Midland and his mother in Nevada regarding Caitlin's disappearance. The Midland truck driving man reportedly told police that Caitlin had been trying to find a job, but that scars on her body were preventing employers from hiring her. Likely, and this is another presumption on my part, Caitlin dealt with depression, as she was known to cut herself, her thighs being the most common spot on her body where she would inflict such wounds. One night while he was asleep, the man told the cops, Caitlin collected her things and left, and he never saw or heard from her again. Police in Midland had no evidence that this guy committed a crime, but from what I understand, he did have a prolific criminal history. It's said he's since moved out of state, and that Midland authorities have lost track of him. There has been at least two possible sightings of Caitlin Dennison since she was reported missing. Months after they questioned the man she came to Midland from Reno with, apparently, the Midland police got a call from a woman who said she gave Caitlin Dennison a ride, quote, over by her boyfriend's work, end quote. Also, someone matching her description entered a San Marcos, Texas strip club at some point, looking for work as a dancer. The club declined because this young woman had cuts and scars on her thighs, another detail that matched Caitlin's appearance well before that particular detail about her was publicly known. Earlier this year, a TikTok account showed up with Caitlin's name and a photo of her. The obviously fake profile proceeded to comment on other users' posts, specifically targeting a woman who was doing some work for Caitlin's sister, Rachel. This fake profile user most often commented saying, "I'm not dead." Chances are this was a cruel and sick prank at the hands of an emotionless troll, and the account was taken down not long after. According to Rachel Dennison, the police consider the case of Caitlin's disappearance to have gone cold. Rachel, however, says she refuses to give up looking for her sister. The GoFundMe page she and one of Caitlin's good friends set up to raise money for a private investigator, erect a billboard, and buy ads in newspapers has only raised $720 of the $5,000 needed. Still, almost 4 years after the fact, Caitlin Dennison's disappearance has received little media attention. Although missing persons posters plastered across social media describe Caitlin as standing 5 feet tall and weighing around 120 pounds, Her sister Rachel describes her as 5 feet 4 inches tall and as a loving, beautiful person. Caitlin Dennison's ears are pierced multiple times, as is her tongue, lower lip, philtrum, and both nostrils. Under her left lip is a beauty mark. Caitlin Dennison has several tattoos, an Eye of Horus on her wrist, a Leo zodiac symbol on her right middle finger. On her forearm is a tattoo of the Libra symbol, or balancing scales. Although the Texas Department of Public Safety website and official missing persons flyers for Caitlin describe her as having the word alien tattooed on her finger, it is actually an alien face on her left ring finger, just below the fist knuckle, the classic gray alien style. It is not the word alien. On the same finger, in between the finger knuckles, is the letter M. Caitlin's hair is naturally brown, but she keeps it bleached blonde. Her eyes are blue. She was last seen wearing a black shirt, a fur vest, black leggings with braids down the side, and fuzzy boots. If you have any information about the disappearance of Caitlin Marie Dennison, who is now 23 years old and may be going by the name Serena, please contact the Texas Department of Public Safety's Missing Persons Clearinghouse at 800-346-3243 or Midland Crime Stoppers at 432-694-8477. Please consider donating to the Dennison family's GoFundMe so they can hire a private investigator and further advertise Caitlin's disappearance. We'll provide a link in the show notes. I'd like to give a special thanks to Jennifer and Emily for y'all's help. If you'd like to help find answers for the families of unsolved crime victims from all over, or help identify a Jane or John Doe, please visit DNASolves.com, where you can submit your DNA data from a consumer testing company, like Ancestry or 23andMe, to their database. If you have not tested with one such company, you can get a kit directly from them by going to connect.dnasolves.com. Your DNA data there is used only for law enforcement investigations. At dnasolves.com too, you can donate to one of the crowdfunding cases to help identify an unknown decedent or help solve a cold case. We'll provide links in the show notes. You can find Gone Cold on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using @GoneColdPodcast. We're also now on YouTube, where we hope to bring y'all the podcast in a kind of a different way, coming fairly soon. So go to youtube.com/C/GoneColdPodcast and subscribe. We'd greatly appreciate it if you did. You can support Gone Cold at patreon.com/GoneColdPodcast. Donors at all levels there get the show ad-free, and for just $2.50 a month, you'll have access to episodes featuring stories of mostly solved Texas crimes and the bad actors who perpetrated them, such as the Riverside Village Massacre, Parts 1 and 2, and our episode Doped Up and Ready to Kill, among others. Thanks so much to everyone who supports us there. We could not do this without you, and we appreciate it beyond words. If you like what we're doing here, you can also support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating and short review on iTunes. Reviews on iTunes help make Gone Cold visible to more people, and the more folks who listen to these stories, the greater the likelihood someone will come forward with information. If you have not already, we would immensely appreciate your 5-star rating and review there. The Polaris Project, the U.S. Department of Justice, the study Human Trafficking by the Numbers from the University of Texas School of Social Work, the Houston Chronicle, CBS7 Midland, the Reno Gazette Journal, and the Midland Reporter Telegram were used as sources for this episode. Thanks for listening, y'all.